tonight. We want to pray for these people that are in Tampa and Florida area, and that God would just blow on that thing and send it on back out to sea and stop it. I know that there are people down there praying with everything in them, so we want to believe God to, you know, tonight to thwart that thing, to stop it in Jesus' name, and continue to remember those that are in the Carolinas and Tennessee and Virginia, the western part, and let's ask God to comfort them and to touch them. I know that Cherie today, she took a tractor trailer load down there, and Deborah went with her, and so they need some housing. And I know it's getting colder there, so we need to pray that God would just move and for the necessary things to get there for those people. So we want to do that tonight as we remember them. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you right now that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And we especially lift up those, Father, right now in Florida before you. And Lord, we speak to that hurricane by the name of Dylan, and we say, Dylan, we take authority over you. We bind you in the name of Jesus and command every wind to cease in Jesus' name. Father, right now we ask you to send your angels, God, to just move and minister. Lord, in that situation, Father, you're able to turn it, God, to send it back out to sea, whatever's necessary to take place and whatever's necessary to happen, God. We just pray, Lord, that you'll be with those people there and protect them, Lord. Send your angels to minister. And Father, we pray tonight for all of these, God, that have been in this flood, that, Lord, that you will be with them and let your comfort and peace be with those that have lost loved ones, God. Lord, we just pray right now. We thank you for the outpouring that the church has done, Lord, all over the place. And Father, we thank you for your provision. We ask you to continue to move. We pray for them to get the housing that they need, the heat that they need, all the necessary things, Father God. And Lord, we just ask you to have your way in the midst of us tonight, Jesus. Lord, we're thankful for your goodness, thankful for your mercy. Have your way in this house, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. Give him a good praise tonight. As the Spirit was moving over the waters, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the waters, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. Oh, come down. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart bound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will feel me. Come down. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart bound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will feel me. Spirit, feel me. As the Spirit was moving over the waters, Spirit, come move over us.
Come rest on us, oh fire.
Just tell him, say, I love you, Lord. Say, I love you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Yes, we do. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord, I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone, your presence, Lord, your presence, Lord, your presence, Lord, your presence, Lord, and Holy Spirit, you are feel the atmosphere, your glory.
nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Oh, let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Feel the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. And mountains are still being moved. And strongholds are still being loosed. God, we believe it. Yes, we can see that. Wonders are still what you do. We are here for you. Come. set our hearts on you. Come and do what you do. We need a move. We need a move. Bodies are still being raised.
Some praise tonight. Come on, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God in the voice of triumph. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. God is good, amen. He's good to his people. Let's give him another shout of praise before you be seated. Hallelujah, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you for every person under the sound of my voice. We thank you, Father God, that your protection in your hand is upon each and every one of them. We cover them by the blood of Jesus. We cover them by your promises. We cover them by your word. And we say the enemy cannot curse what God has blessed. We call them blessed in Jesus' name. We call them champions for God. We call them champions for you, Lord. And we give you praise. You say they are more than conquerors through Christ who gives them the strength. And God, that's what makes them a champion, that they're more than conquerors in you. And we thank you for it. We thank you for it this night in Jesus' name. And if you believe that and receive it, give him a big old shout of praise. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory in the house. Glory in the house. Hallelujah. And we're going to continue worshiping if the ushers would come. We're going to go ahead and receive our tithe and offer.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's go ahead and turn to the book of Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians tonight. And we're going to read from chapter number 2. Chapter number 2. Are you there yet? Okay. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things. And let us pray tonight. Father, we just thank you for your word tonight. We ask you to just come and give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Holy Spirit, we thank you for revelation knowledge. We thank you for your precious anointing and your holy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. Amen. And so we're going to talk about how not to commit apostasy. How's that? Is that good? And so if you were to go back, or if we went to 1 Thessalonians tonight, we're going to kind of just build up to this because I believe that there's some things that will help you in staying focused, especially with all the things that are going on in the world. And so Paul, when he starts out writing to them, he says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." So one of the things that he's doing is commending them, and it's encouraging. And so tonight, you know, I want you guys to be encouraged. You should be encouraged for the good deeds that you do and your work and labor in the Lord, to know that it's not in vain. Somebody say, what I do for Jesus is not in vain. With all the pressure and things that come upon humanity right now, especially in the church, I think it's good to understand what Paul is saying here is to give them encouragement. And so that's one of the first things that he does. He said, when they heard of the gospel, God did such a work that it gave them convictions like steel. I like that because when God works in us to bring us to that place that we love him to the point that we have conviction that's so strong that we know that we're not going to go to the left or to the right, but that we're going to stay straight on the track. Amen? And so I want convictions of steel. I don't want to give in to the times. I don't want to give in to hyper grace. I don't want to give in to immorality. I don't want to give in to all the demonic doctrines that are out there. I want to make sure that I'm standing strong in the Lord. And so Paul is writing them. He's commending them. So he says, when we heard of the gospel, when you heard the gospel, it gave you that kind of conviction in your life. You know, if you really understand what Jesus did for you, if you really understand what he did on that cross, the price that he paid, then it's going to stir something in your heart. I know that in America sometimes it's almost like people in church have come to the place that they do not appreciate really what the Lord did for them. The price that he paid, the blood that he shed, that sinless, spotless blood. And we live in a time where people are just so relaxed in their faith, leaned back and just nonchalant. And we, you know, when that happens, we can become careless in our faith. So Paul is writing them because if we were to parallel that day to our day, there's a lot of the same stuff going on now than there was then. So Paul said to them, you know, he said, pay careful attention. He said to them, he said, you have paid careful attention to the way that I've lived. And he said, you have begun to walk just like I walk. And love the Lord like I love the Lord, and pray and seek him just as I do. And you become determined to live that way, just as I'm determined. In actuality, he called them imitators of God, imitators of him. And I think that that's good. If you find somebody that really lives the life, they're encouraging when you look at them, and you want to imitate their manner of life. You want to imitate what they do. I know that if I'm looking at somebody that I'm going to follow, I want to make sure that they're strong in the Lord and not wishy-washy. Amen. I don't think I've ever wanted to follow anybody that was wishy-washy. I want to follow people that are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And so the Apostle Paul's talking to them. He said, although great trouble accompanied the gospel when it was preached to you, you were able to take great joy from the Holy Spirit. I think that's a powerful line, especially right now with us and the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, with all that is out there and the pressure that is on the body of Christ right now and the pressure that is coming. I believe more pressure is coming on the body of Christ, that we understand that with that we can take great joy in the Holy Ghost. We can say, Lord, I just thank you for your presence. I thank you for your power, that even though, Lord, that I'm standing on the word and living by the word, all this persecution and all the troubles that come my way, Lord, I just thank you right now that the Holy Spirit is giving me strength every single day. every moment of the day. And then in chapter 2, Paul says to them, he says, when you got the message of God that we preached, you didn't pass it off just as one more human opinion. I like that. But you took it to heart as God's true word to you. You know, so often, you know, when the word is preached and when the word is given, people do not receive it as the word of God. How many times have you heard somebody say, well, that's just them saying that. Or that's their opinion or what have you. They don't really take it as the word of God. So Paul is still commending them. He said, man, when you heard the gospel preached to you, he said, you didn't receive it as a mere human opinion. You received it as a true word from God. And so that's how we need to receive the message. And I want you to keep this in mind tonight, that as we're ministering on this, because I'm going somewhere with this, is that we don't want to lean toward apostasy, a departure from the faith, or a denial of the faith. And listen to me. I hear people say all the time, you know, well, that couldn't happen to me. Oh, yes, it could. I was sharing with someone yesterday that I know ministers, and I've been in contact with them, I've talked to them down through the years, who now are not even in the ministry. Some of them have fallen away. Some of their belief systems have totally, absolutely changed. And they're no longer serving God like they did at one time, or believing the scripture like they did at one time. And they have become castaways and have fallen by the wayside. And probably maybe you know somebody in that same boat. But it's amazing to me that these same people at one time were on fire for God. They really had the goods. Preachers of the gospel, pastors of churches that fell away from the faith. And so when we are listening to what Paul is saying here, we need to honor the word in our lives. That when you read it, that you receive it as God's word. When somebody gets up and ministers to you, whether we have a guest minister, whether it's me or Brother Hughes or anybody else that gets up and minister, we need to receive that as the word of God. Because it's life-changing. We don't want to dishonor it. We want to give place for the word in our lives. And Paul says to them, he said, when we were with you, we made it quite clear that there was trouble ahead. And now that it's happened, you know what it's like. That's why I couldn't quit worrying. I had to know for myself how you were doing in the faith. I didn't want the tempter getting to you and tearing down everything that we had built together. Man, that's a good statement for right now. Paul was dealing with Judaizers. Dealing with people that were coming in and tearing down everything that he had laid, the foundation of Jesus and the grace of God. But speaking about our time, you think about this. How many people go online and listen to people minister what they say is the word of God? Taking people off track. This is one of the big trends that's coming right now. There are more ways to God than just Jesus. That's not scriptural. It sounds good because we say, yes, God is so big and he's so loving and he's so kind. You know that there's other ways because there's many paths that lead to God. I understand that philosophy, but I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ is the way. He is the truth and he is the life. And say, well, you know, I bumped into that and that path finally led me over here to Jesus. But let me tell you, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way, not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Krishna, not any other thing, not the New Age, not any of those things or any of the hyper grace stuff that's out in the market, any of those things. Jesus is the way. Amen. Not your good works. Jesus is the way. Somebody say he's the way. So Paul tells them, he said, when I told you about the trouble and the trouble is coming, and so we know that troublous times are here. He told that to Timothy. He said, in the last days, troublous times shall come, perilous times shall come, times hard to bear. He talked about seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And so we're certainly living in that time right now where, you know, we see entire denominations leaning into immorality, believing that you can ordain homosexuality, that you can ordain transgenderism, that you can do all these things and embrace it because God is an all-inclusive God. Well, you know, God loves everybody, I agree, but you got to come through Jesus to get to him. And when you come to Jesus and you get cleansed of your sin, you're supposed to depart from iniquity. Somebody say, amen, amen. So he tells them, he said, I do not want the tempter getting to you, tearing down what I taught you, tearing down the faith.
tearing down the doctrines in the Word of God, okay? And then in chapter 4, he gives the guidelines. He said, I'll lay guidelines down for you from the Master Jesus that God wants you to live, listen, a pure life. Somebody say a pure life. Keep yourselves from sexual promiscuity. Well, this is some good preaching right here. So I just wanted to read this to you. Learn to appreciate and give dignity to your body, not abusing it, as is so common among those who know nothing of God. Don't run roughshod over the concerns of your brothers and sisters. Their concerns are God's concerns, and He will take care of them. We've warned you about this before. God hasn't invited us into a disorderly, grungy life, but into something holy and beautiful, as beautiful on the inside as the outside. If you disregard this advice, you're not offending your neighbors, you're rejecting God, who is making you a gift of His Holy Spirit. That's some strong instruction. Most people, if preachers preach that, a lot of people would say that's too hard. Seriously, that's too hard. And so He's calling them really to holiness. He said, with all this stuff that's out here that you're dealing with, He said, this is what God is expecting out of you. This is the guidelines that the Master has laid out. And then He talks about the rapture of the church. And remember now, we're talking about apostasy. Why do people commit apostasy? Why do people depart from the faith? And then chapter 5, listen to this. Live straight. Walk in the light, be sober. Now we exhort you, brethren, and warn them that are unruly among you. Well, that word really is out of step with what God does and is. Comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. So he's telling you, don't swallow just anything. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you want to be ready to go when the rapture takes place, if you want to be ready to meet God, this is Paul giving instructions. So he lays it out throughout 1 Thessalonians, and when he's coming into 2 Thessalonians, and I want you to listen to what he says, begins the ground rules. He said, the Christian faith, I want to read this to you in their commentary. I thought it was really good. The Christian faith has always been characterized by a strong and focused sense of future. I'm going to say that again. The Christian faith has always been characterized by a strong and focused sense of future. Let that sink in. The Christian faith has always been characterized by a strong and focused sense of future. With belief in the second coming of Jesus as the most distinctive detail. Now, that's important. He's telling us that if you want to really please God and if you want to really be ready to meet Him and you want to be apostasy-proof, he said one of the things you need to do is you need to live your life focused on Jesus coming, that you're always aware that at any moment He could come. You think about that early church and how that they greeted one another with the words, Maranatha. They were saying, behold, the Lord comes. And so they would encourage one another with those words in the face of all the trouble and the persecution that they were going through, with all the stuff that they were facing, death itself, they reminded themselves continually that Jesus was coming. Because if I really believe that Jesus is coming, it's going to make me step higher, look higher, reach higher. It's going to make me not look back, because if I'm anticipating His return, I'm going to be looking up. I want to keep my focus up on heaven. And so what happens in our world is the tendency is that most people in church today and in Christendom are looking horizontally instead of vertically. They're looking at, what I need, what I've got to have, God meet my need, God bless me, God help me, God do this for me, God do that for me. And how many knows that that's a really stingy way to live? Because the Christian life is to be one of denial of self. Because if we live that way, we're really denying him in one sense of the word, because Jesus wants us to deny ourselves and become like him and be givers. Always looking for his coming. Always anticipating his coming. You think about this. If I am expecting someone that I haven't seen in a long time, and they're a really good friend of mine, and they've made a real impact on my life, and they're coming, I'm going to anticipate them coming to my house. So what am I going to do? I'm going to prepare for them to come. I'm going to say, man, I want to get their favorite food. I want everything to be just right. I want to be ready for them to when they come to my house. I want them to feel comfortable with me. Amen? Because you should have mentors in your life that when you get in their presence that you feel a little uncomfortable. I know some people say, well, you know, Jesus is my best friend. But I'm going to tell you something. If you really get in that holy presence of God, you will feel uncomfortable. Because when you stand in his presence in that fire and you begin to experience his person and all that he is, you begin to understand he is holy, he is God, he is almighty, he is all-powerful, and he's going to judge the worlds. I'm going to stand before him. Somebody say it makes your knees knock together. It puts you in a place of reverential fear, godly fear, which is one of the things that we need so desperately today in the body of Christ. Because we just take our Christianity so flippantly. You know, just take it, you know, for granted. But God is really serious about us living according to his word, especially in the last days. Because in the last days, with them being filled of all the stuff that it's filled with, I want to make sure that I don't stumble and become a casualty of the times. So the Apostle Paul, here to the Thessalonians, you know, he's speaking to us as well, and he's talking to us. He says, look, he said, this Christian faith is characterized by a strong focus and, you know, on the, and a strong sense of the future. You should be looking for Jesus to come. On your job, you need to be looking for Jesus to come. That says that you don't have to hang around and just cuss with the rest of them. You don't have to tell dirty jokes with the rest of them to be accepted. That tells you that you don't have to go out and socialize with people just to make you want, just so that you'll feel accepted. Come on now. You become a social drinker, and then you turn into a drunk. All kinds of things the tempter can get you with. And see, these things are important, because if I'm looking for the coming of Jesus, I'm not going to get around that stuff. Amen? Amen? I can remember growing up, and, you know, my cousins, we all lived together. It was kind of, we called it the tribe. But anyway, you know, there was always beer around, and there were cigarettes, and there was all this kind of stuff. But, you know, when my daddy showed up, I didn't want him seeing any of that kind of stuff. Amen? Why? Because, number one, I didn't want to get a whooping. I didn't want to disrespect what he had done for me as taking care of me and providing for me. Because I feared him, in a sense of the word. I respected who he was. And even when I became of age and got in my 20s, I never smoked around him. I never cussed around him. I never did any of that stuff, because I still honored them and revered who they were. I wanted to honor them as my parents, because there was a part of me that says, I don't want them to ever see that side of me. The thing about it is God always sees that side of us, and he knows whether it's in us or not. But if I'm looking, see, I was always looking for my dad. I said, I don't want my dad shows up here, it's not going to be good. And it's the same way with Jesus. If he shows up and catches us in stuff that we're not supposed to be in, he's going to chastise you. Look at somebody and say, chastisement is a good thing. Because those he loves, he chastises and rebukes. Somebody say, it's okay for Jesus to give you a little tanning, so that you'll know that he loves you. And also that he'll say, I don't want you doing this stuff. You belong to me. You were holy. You're set apart. You're supposed to be different from the world. You're not supposed to get caught up in all this stuff. Well, say, I just want to fit in. Jesus said, you are in the world, but you are not of the world. You're not supposed to fit in the world. You're supposed to feel uncomfortable in the world. If you feel comfortable in the world, you're missing what the Scripture says. Because the Scripture wants you to feel out of joint when you're in the world. Now, I don't know about you. If I go to Walmart or stuff like that, you know, I'm not even comfortable in Walmart myself. I'm not comfortable in the mall. I'm not comfortable in lots of different places. You know, I just don't like going to those places. But at the same time, I feel more comfortable in here than do anything else. I do understand that as the Father sent Jesus, that he has sent me into the world. So I do have to go into the world and witness to people and be a light to them. But I'm not supposed to be a partaker of the world and what it does. I'm supposed to be different from it. I'm supposed to be salt and light in the midst of the world so that it will get hungry for what I have. Instead of me getting in the world and getting influenced by the world and drawn into it and away from God. How many people do you know that have been drawn into the world? What did Jesus say? Love not the world. Don't even love what's in the world. Stay away from it. Why? It's an enemy with God. Amen? It's an enemy with God. So listen to what he goes on to say. He said, with the belief in the second coming of Jesus as the most distinctive detail, from the day Jesus ascended into heaven, his followers have lived in expectancy of his return. He told them he was coming back. They believed he was coming back. They continue to believe it as Christians. Do you believe it? Amen. It is the most important thing to know and believe about the future. Because if I'm looking for the future and I know that he is going to return, I'm gonna make sure every day when I get up in the morning, I'm going to pray. Start my day right. Why am I going to pray? Because I'm get focused upon him. Why am I going to pray? Because he might could come that day. Why am I going to pray? Because I want to put him at the head of all things, and I know that prayer will keep me attuned to him. Amen? I'm looking for his appearing. Somebody say, I'm looking for his appearing. I'm looking for his appearing. If you're looking for that appearing, it's going to cause you to abstain from lots of different things that are in the world. Amen? Now, so Jesus is coming. Somebody say he's coming. So Paul encourages them to stand in tribulations and persecutions and troubles and hardships and all these things. He says, because Jesus is coming. Do not relax your grip. Do not fall by the wayside. Remember last week? Don't get caught up in all this surfeiting and drunkenness and all these things. Lest that day come upon you unawares. And remember the book of Luke that we were teaching on last week? Don't let that day come upon you unaware, because he's coming. He's telling you that for a reason. Jesus warned us, don't allow yourself to go to sleep. Don't allow yourself to take an ease. All right? In 2 Thessalonians 1 and 7, we want to read this. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Now, just listen to this now, okay? With his mighty angels, verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Now that's some hot scripture right there. Let's read that again. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Man, he's given a picture there. You do not want to be without God. That's 2 Thessalonians. You do not want to be without God. Flaming fire and vengeance. Somebody say, God is coming. He's coming. He's coming. So remember, Paul says, now we beseech you, we desire, we entreat you, we beg you, Paul is saying. We beseech you by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? He's talking about the coming presence of God, the coming arrival of Jesus when he comes to judge the quick and the dead. And by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit nor word nor by letter as from us as the day of Christ is at hand. And then in verse 3, what does he say? Let no man deceive you by any means. So the gathering together is this word that he uses in the Greek. It means a complete collection, especially a Christian meeting. And he tells them about the rapture. We're going to be caught up together, meet the Lord in the air, all of us. Somebody say yes. Yes. It is an assembling together and the gathering unto him. So Paul is saying, he said, look, man, he said, you need to look for the coming of the Lord. You need to look for his coming. It's such a focus on this. We are expecting Jesus to come. Somebody say, yes, we are. And are gathering together unto him. And so this gathering together here is important because it's talking about a gathering together in one place, a religious assembly. It's talking about a gathering together in one place. In Hebrews 10 and 23, it says this, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke one another unto love and to good works. So we're supposed to be watching over each other, okay? Verse 25, not forsaking ourselves, not forsaking ourselves, or abandoning or deserting the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, I wanted to touch on that right there a little bit when he's talking about our gathering together. Because he's telling you that in the last days, one of the things you're going to need more than anything is the fellowship of the saints. You're going to need each other. I hear so often when people say, well, you know, I don't need anybody. I can make it on my own. No, you can't. You can't make it without my prayers. And I can't make it without your prayers. We are to pray one for another. This is what Paul just got through saying. And see, the amazing thing about this is I believe before you're going to gather in that sky, before that gathering takes place, that we have a direct commandment from God to gather together in the house. Listen to this. Somebody say, gather together in the house. Not forsaking, not abandoning, not deserting. The assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. What do we do exhorting one another? We're exhorting one another to say, man, Jesus is coming. I don't know about you, but I'm like David. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. Because the house of God is the place that I'm planted in so that I can flourish in the courts of God. It's in the house of God that I'm made strong, that I have that fellowship, that when I worship like we did tonight, we can draw near into the presence of God. It's encouraging to me to know that I'm not standing alone, that when I'm here tonight that I got a lot of people with me. Amen? And people that believe in like manner, have the same mindset. We encourage ourselves. We encourage each other because we look around us tonight and say, well, I know one thing. I can depend on Dan. I can depend on Doug. I can depend on Jeff. You know what I mean? I can depend on Mike back here. Because I can say, I know I have someone praying for me. I can trust Millie to pray for me. And see, that network is so important. And this is what Paul is talking about. Because in light of the last days, the perilous times, the times hard to bear, with all the stuff that's going on, you think about what just happened right now down here in Carolina and Florida, all this flooding and all these things. There's going to be a lot of people that are mixed up in their head and will blame God for that. And if the world had its way, it would want people to blame God for it. And they would tell people that God did to them. And so that's why we need that fellowship one with another so that we can exhort one another, encourage one another, and understand bad times have always happened in life. There has been a lot of sadness and crushing things that happened to people since the beginning of time. But God has always been there to help us and heal us and bind up the brokenhearted. Amen? And so we need that fellowship because when we come in here, number one, one of the things we do is when we're taught the word of God, we begin to get sharpened in the spirit. So when we hear something that's a demonic doctrine, we say, that ain't right. I heard Kenneth Hughes tell me that. I can say, that's not right because I heard Brother Dalton share something with me. See, the key to it is to staying in the house of God and in his presence. This is why Paul says, he says, forsake not yourselves the assembling together. But listen to what he says, as the manner of some is. Some people's manner is to not assemble. I said, some people's manner is to not assemble. Let's back up a little bit. Isn't that not revering God? Not having any reverential fear? Not respecting his word? Because if you go back under the old covenant and you see when God got people to gather together, there were wonderful things when people gathered together. You remember when Moses, you know, he was up in the mountain and he was gathering people together. When he came down, they had made a golden calf. Huh? You remember that gathering of people, but that was because Moses was gone. But when he came back down the second time, things were different. Somebody say, yes, they were. But what about when the temple was built? Remember Solomon when he was praying, when he prayed? The Bible said when they were assembled together there, that when they were in one mind and one accord, that what happened? That they all fell down in the presence of God? They did. See, wonderful things can happen. You know, when David gathered those people together and people were shouting and praising God when they were bringing the ark back. Every gathering, when you gather together in God, something good always happens out of this. And see, there are types and shadows of it throughout the scripture. So when Paul is talking to us, he said, look, he said, when you come to the last days and you see all this immorality and godlessness and lawlessness and pressure and things that are happening, and you see the government breathing hot fire down the church's back, and you see a lot of people abandoning ship and a lot of preachers under the pressure of governmental authorities that are going to do and say what the government says and not what Jesus says, because if you're a preacher, you may get locked up and called hate speech. When those things begin to happen, or you're witnessing to somebody on the job and you're talking to them about Jesus, and all of a sudden, let's just say that there's a law in the land that gets passed and they say, this person said this to me and I'm going to sue them because it's hate speech. You need the believers. You need a gathering together. We need a prayer meeting like they had in Acts when Peter was in prison and they prayed without ceasing so that the angel of the Lord shows up and gets him out of that situation. See, I believe that if the church really begins to understand and focus upon his coming and understand Jesus is coming, but before he gets here, there's going to be an apostasy of a lot of people departing from the faith or abandoning ship, denying. And see, that's amazing to me because we haven't seen a whole lot of that take place. We see some of it taking place. But this is Paul talking. He said, before these things come to pass, he said, what's going to happen is there going to be a great departure from the faith. And that's only going to come because of one thing, because of pressure, persecution, troubled times. You think about that early church, it was born in the fire. It lived in the fire. It lived under the pressure. It lived under circumstances like if you live for Jesus, you may die tomorrow and be ate by a lion. If you're living for Jesus today, you may be put in a position where you end up being given, you know, to wild beasts. They may crucify you. They may cut you up and quarter you. There's all kinds of things, you know, that Rome did to the people in those times. But see, they lived under that. We in America know nothing about that. Maybe China does, believers in China, maybe some believers in some of the Muslim nations, they know about those things because they've experienced those deaths. But you even think about what happened on October the 7th when these Islamic people came and attacked Israel, because that's really what it was. They were God haters. You think about that they raped the little babies, that they put them in microwaves. They slaughtered their mothers and fathers in front of them. They murdered people, just went in and shot them and did the most, God, you can't even fathom the things that they did to those Israelis. But you think about here we are, and people that believe in Jesus are calling for the death of Jews. Somebody say, that's bad. See, that's a demonic doctrine too. That's the work of a devil. That is apostasy. That is a great departure from the path. And see, with America right now, it's just like people, you know, they don't measure anything by the word. You know what I'm saying? And everything that we do, we need to measure it by scripture. We need to make sure that the book backs it up. Because I don't want to be outside the book. Somebody say amen. And so when he says, not forsaking yourself, listen, he said, by our gathering together unto him, that you soon not be shaken. So if we're going to be gathered together unto him, if we're going to be gathered together at the presence of the Lord or the coming of the Lord Jesus, shouldn't we be gathered together now with him in his house? Wouldn't that make sense? Yes. And be exhorted and exhort one another, you know, the Lord's coming is near. It is at hand. I believe that with everything within me. Amen. Let no man deceive you by any means. Let no man seduce you. It means to be wholly seduced. Let no man beguile you. Let no man deceive you. In Romans 16:17, I want to read this scripture to you. Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Wow. See, that's a powerful scripture. They're weak in the soul. Amen? When it says they serve their own belly, that means their own desires, their own lust. That's what they do. And so, by and large, we have a lot of people like that that are in the body of Christ that serve their belly. They serve themselves. They're going to make sure that they're taken care of. They want everything that life can give them, but they don't want to deny themselves or take up their cross, want anything to do with the cross. And so Paul is exhorting them. He says, look, he said, if you're going to survive the times, this is the first thing that you got to do. You got to look for his coming. You got to look for Jesus to appear. He's coming in flaming fire. He's coming in vengeance. He's going to have wrath with him upon these people that are ungodly and wicked in the world. And those that obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ are going to be right there with them. Because there are myriads of people that think they're saved and are not saved. You can't just come to the altar and apologize to God or feel some sorry thing at a moment and say, Jesus is my Lord. There's a whole lot more to this thing than that. Let us make our calling and election sure before God. You know, we want to absolutely know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am born again. And what did Jesus say? By their fruit, you shall know them. It's okay to be a fruit inspector. Amen? And so if we're focused on the coming of Jesus, if we're looking for him, it's going to cause me to say, I am not going to watch that on TV. I'm not going to listen to that garbage. I'm not going to read that garbage. I'm not going to go and hang around all this stuff, because I've already read to you tonight that he says, come out from among them, have nothing to do with them, stay away from it. So you got to measure things by the word. And lots of times it's like that. Say, well, if I do that, you know, that'll make my friends mad. Well, I'd whole lot rather have my friend mad than Jesus. He's got eyes of fire. You see, that's why it's important. Yeah, he's a loving Jesus. He's a good Jesus, and he's wonderful and all of these things. But I'm going to tell you something. He's the Lord of glory. He's the Lord of glory. He's the King of all kings. And so Paul is writing to these Thessalonians. He commended them to begin with. He said, I want you to know, man, my eyes have been on you. I'm so thankful and so glad that you have been on fire and you've done all these things and you're imitating me and you're walking with me and all these things. He said, but look, trouble's coming. And I want to say, I'm glad you're in church tonight and I'm glad you come to church and I'm glad you worship God, but trouble's coming. There's hardships and trials that are coming. And is your faith strong enough and your love ardent enough for Jesus Christ that you're going to stay on the ship and not jump overboard? If they came in here tonight and began to say that you can't do this or can't do that, are you still going to stand up and say, you might tell me that I can't, but I am. You might as well lock me up now, because I'm not stopping just because you want to tell me to stop. I'm going for Jesus. My God said this. He told me to do this, and I have no other alternative. Somebody say amen. We got to have a Joseph spirit, man. We got to have what Paul had. We got to have what those disciples had. We got to have what those early believers had. We need that today. Somebody say amen. And if I'm looking for his appearing, you know, isn't it amazing? I'm getting ready to close. But isn't it amazing, you know, when you, I can remember working a secular job and I always stayed busy. Even, you know, if things weren't happening, I just grabbed a broom, began to sweep and stayed busy and so forth. And But other people would sit down and they would hide and just kind of look and see if the boss man was coming. Man, when the boss came, they wanted to get my broom. When the boss man came, man, they were up. They weren't sitting down in the floor. They weren't sitting down over here on this can or whatever else. You know, they jumped up, man, like they'd been working all day, like, whew, man. Isn't it amazing how quick you can change when you know the boss is coming? See, that's the way we're to live, because it energizes us to think, man, I want to be in church on a Wednesday night and Jesus come. I want to be in church on a Sunday night and Jesus come. I want to be in revival and Jesus come. I want to be home watching the right stuff, reading the right thing, and living the right life when Jesus comes. Because what I see in here tonight is what I should see in your house. That's the way you should live. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Looking for his appearing. Looking, loving his appearing. Wanting him to come. You know, in the Revelation, let's all stand together. In the Revelation, the saints prayed, even so come, Lord Jesus. They were praying for his coming. You know why they were praying? Because times are so hard. They want him to come. One of the things that will happen before Jesus comes is God will squeeze the love of the world out of a lot of saints and turn things so that they will say, Lord, I want you to come. And then you go say, I can't even believe I just prayed that prayer. Jesus, come. Jesus, come. Jesus, come. So we want him to come. But like I said, you know, last week, my motto is, God, don't take me until I do damage to the kingdom of darkness. Amen. If I'm going to leave, I want to take somebody with me. If I'm going to have to leave, I want to leave the biggest dent that I can possibly leave in the earth, in the world. Looking for his return. Encourage one another with those words. Look at the person beside him and say, Jesus is coming. Hold fast to that which thou hast. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. You know, something about that just gives you boldness to be a witness. You know, you get scared sometimes to witness to somebody. You feel uncomfortable about it, but you know God's dealing with you. Oh, man, what if you started witnessing to me and a rapture took place? Wouldn't you feel good? That sinner would say, what did you say? But he's coming. He's coming. Amen. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for Paul's exhortation to the Thessalonians, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that they were a people that were looking for your coming. But Paul also warned them. He said, trouble's coming. Hard times are coming. You got to be strong. He said, because that day that we're looking for is not going to come except to come a falling away first and the man of sin be revealed. Lord, I pray tonight that God, that our hearts would be toward heaven, that our hearts would be toward Jesus coming, that every day that we are alive upon the face of this earth, Holy Spirit, that you'd help us to be mindful. This could be the day. This could be the hour. Lord Jesus, I pray tonight that our hearts and our convictions would be like steel. God, that we would not waver. That, Lord, that the tempter could not tempt us enough to fall by the wayside. But, Lord, that we would be strong in our no. And, Father, we pray tonight, God, that the saints of God would be strengthened. Lord, that they'd be built up in the faith, kept by your mighty power in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for all these people in these storms that, God, that they wouldn't blame you and wouldn't get angry at you for the loss of things. Lord Jesus, for you said, take no thought of your life. Father, because things can be replaced, life can't. So, Lord, we pray that their focus and their eyes would be heavenward. And, Father, that they would know that you're watching over them to help them. And, God, that you will restore them, Father. Father, we pray that peace into their hearts and their minds. And Father God in heaven, we just pray, have your way with us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. If you're here tonight and you want